following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I am really glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning, that you are right here this morning. Today, we are going to continue looking at one of the themes that we encountered when we watched the Godspeed video a couple weeks ago. For those of you who weren't here, you can find a link to the video in our midweek announcement email. If you don't already get that, you can subscribe to it on our website. If you are having trouble doing that, feel free to contact Debbie in the office. She's here Monday and Thursday, and she can make sure that you are subscribed to that so that you can watch this relatively short. It's like 30, 35-minute video. But the video follows a pastor named Matt Canlis as he journeys from seminary here in Vancouver to Scotland, where he studied in school, but also where he pastored a bit. And probably, I would imagine, he would argue where he learned how to pastor. The video is Matt's personal reflections. It's also his interviews with world-renowned theologians and scholars, as well as with the people of the tiny town of Methlick, Scotland, where he pastored for a time. Matt learned a ton about what it meant to be a part of a community in a completely new way in Methlick. And it really informed his understanding of God, of people, and ministry, and his role in all of that. A lot of what we saw in the video and some of what we engaged in together last week was about being known. In a tiny community like Methlick, Matt encountered a place where he was not able to be anonymous. He could not hide in the fishbowl that was Methlick. It was scary for him a bit at first, uncomfortable at first, but became something that he began to value and appreciate and saw great opportunity in. And so this idea, being known, risking really being known, is a huge part of what we're going to do together throughout this series. And one of the ways we're going to do that is through time of personal reflection and discussion with one or two people around us. It is a tangible opportunity for us to practice being known. And so let's risk that together this morning. Last week, we looked at our first theme from the video. The first of seven that we'll be looking at before Lent. We talked about the theme of place, and we looked at the question, where are you? And it's an important question for us as we seek to live in a faithful way, as we seek to minister, as we seek to be the church in a faithful way to our place geographically here in South Surrey, Grandview Heights, our place historically, our place culturally, our place spiritually. But before we can really engage others, before we can hope to share the love of God and the hope of forgiveness and redemption in Christ, we have to understand where we are. Place is important. And this morning, we're going to talk a bit more about how we can engage with our place. The theme we're looking at this morning is presence. Again, we have two scripture passages to read this morning. The first is Exodus 3, verses 1 through 5, and the second will be Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand on Dave, or maybe Val, I don't know. Would be happy to bring you one, either today or to keep. But before we dive into our readings this morning, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, today we meet you here, in this place. Help us, God, to be present with you. Help us, God, to be present to your word, to be present to your spirit, and to be present to where you are leading each of us. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at our two scripture readings for today. The first, Exodus 3, verses 1 through 5. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him and from within the bush. He called, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then moving into Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We read in Exodus, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Here I am. Three little words, a very simple statement, but one that if we really choose to own, can change our lives. Here I am. And we see how, when we look at Jesus' words in Matthew, we see words there about the power of the presence of light, the impact light can have in darkness, the power we have, we, the light of the world, when we are present in that place. Let's take a look at an anecdote from Methlick for this week as it relates to presence. Upon moving to Methlick, this is again Julie Canlis, Matt's wife, writing this. Upon moving to Methlick, one thing we had to accustom ourselves to was the church bell keeping the hours through the day and night. It took weeks to achieve unbroken sleep as our manse, minister's house, was nearly across the street from the church. Slowly, though, we began to see these bells not as intrusions into our life and sleep, but as ways of staying awake. As a church, we began to grasp that one of the hardest things in life is to be present. Present where we are and who we are with. We could live sacrificially, we could read our Bibles, we could hold village fairs to raise money for lands far away, but the hardest thing of all was being present to God, others, and the holy ground beneath our feet. Our desire was to be more present to the miracle of every day and every one. We tried to remember God. We wanted to be attentive and prayerful, and we continually failed. Then someone had the idea to use the bell. Whenever the bell tolled, we would stop whatever we were doing, peeling potatoes, hanging the washing, plowing the fields, walking to school, and shout, whisper, or groan, Here I am. Fast forward to Wenatchee, our small American town, where there are no such bells, but we discovered one thing we did have, cell phones. One Lent, our church set our phone alarms to various times throughout the day so we could pause and say, Here I am. Mothers set their phone alarms, and when the alarm sounded, their children would shout, It's time to say, Here I am, and would rush out to grab a candle, helping to hallow the moment. Best of all was noon, when the whole church stopped wherever we were to say, Here we are. Here I am. Here we are. What does that mean? What does it mean to live like that, to enter moments like that. It's such a simple yet a surprisingly difficult thing to live out. How often are we, whether we intend to or not, being present in multiple things or trying to be present in multiple things at once? It's a constant struggle for me. Even when I watch TV, I'm rarely present with just the TV show. I'm on my phone or on my computer or talking with Erica or cuddling Posey. And two of those things, well, there's one that's really important and one that's pretty important, and then the rest are unimportant. Erica knows that Posey is often the most important. She'd say the same, so it's okay. But that can be so damaging, right? When we take the power of presence too lightly. We know when someone isn't giving us their full attention. Right? We can tell. Like, that's not a difficult thing for us to tell. And the message that's sent in that moment is that something else is more important than you, than the person you're engaging with, than the activity you're engaging with. Something else is more important than this. I'd rather be somewhere else. I'd rather be with someone else. That may not be what we intend to communicate, but it is inevitably what is communicated. I can't imagine that God would have called Moses over if Moses had been kicking rocks or kind of wandering around, ignoring the moment, ignoring the fact that there was a burning bush that wasn't being consumed right in front of him. If Moses had been distracted by something else, I don't know if God would have invited him over. Moses told God he was present there, that he was in that moment, that he was in that place, and God invited him in. We can never hope to get to know other people or really be known by other people if we're not willing to be present. If we're not willing to say, here I am, no one is going to invite us in to be known. Recently, I was talking with a friend who was reflecting on a sad experience over the last couple of holiday seasons. My friend's daughter is newly married. The young married couple is living in the basement suite of my friend's house, so quite close. And it was communicated shortly after the wedding, before last Christmas, to my friend by the couple that they would be alternating family locations for Christmases. Not an uncommon thing, but still, it always comes as a little bit of a surprise, I think, to parents of newly married couples that, oh, right, there's two families to have to navigate in this. One year they would be with his family, one year they would be with her family. A difficult reality for married couples whose families don't live right near each other. So last year the young couple was with his family out of town. They stayed with him. They stayed with his family in his family's home. So that meant, right, this year, the couple would be here for Christmas. And while, yes, they were in town, the definition of here was very different for the couple and for my friend. Often the couple disappeared down into their own suite, to their home, when my friend had hoped to spend some time together doing their traditional Christmassy traditions. It was a really difficult, really painful thing, and a lot of it stemmed from this lack of communication about what being here meant. My friend's daughter and her husband may have felt like they were here this Christmas, but my friend sure didn't, and that was really hard. As we talked, I encouraged my friend to reflect, perhaps even in conversation with my friend's daughter and son-in-law, on what it might mean to be here in 2 years now, which again makes this that much more difficult. Presence matters. How we enter into presence matters. People notice when we're not truly present with them. Relationships suffer when we're not truly present. And so what does it look like for you to say, here I am? On that note, let's transition into a time. I'll ask Stephen to put up the questions, and there are questions on sheets either on your chair or the one next to you. I'll give you a minute-ish to kind of read through them, gather your thoughts a little bit, and then I'll transition us into a time where you'll gather with one or two other people around you, which may mean having to move, to discuss these for five, seven-ish minutes. Okay? I a little bit hate to end what looks like some really, really good and sounds like really good conversation, but I'm going to end it. But I would encourage you to continue these conversations, to continue these conversations after worship in the foyer, to continue these conversations at home, but to continue to reflect on these things. And especially, I would say, the tools part. Like, are there resources, et cetera, that help you stay present with others? Like, that's something that we can all benefit from. So if you know of some things, maybe let me know, and we can put them in the midweek. And that would be wonderful for everybody. If I am perfectly honest, this idea of really intentionally focusing on presence comes at a rather inopportune time for me. Next Sunday, I'm heading to Chicago for our annual midwinter pastors gathering. And it's a favorite time of mine. I love hearing the preachers. I love being able to just engage in worship, learning from colleagues, professors, experts in various fields. But most of all, I enjoy just being with my colleagues. Some of the best moments of many midwinters for me are simply spent sitting in the lobby of the hotel in between scheduled activities, sometimes leaking just a little bit into scheduled activities, and seeing who walks through, who I might get to talk with. But as much as I wish it weren't true, unless I intentionally head to an area that isn't highly trafficked with whomever I'm talking to, my head, while in conversation, is on a swivel. And not in the, like, good hockey player, head on a swivel type way. It's on a swivel looking around for who else I may be able to talk with. This whole activity is so common that, like, say a group of us is heading somewhere and we have to go through the lobby because, you know, basically when you go anywhere out of a hotel, you have to go through the lobby. When a group loses a member to a conversation, we've begun calling that getting midwintered. Like, it's a verb. We lose someone along the way, they were midwintered, and we just kind of carry on and expect they're going to find someone else to have dinner with. And I have plenty of good reasons to be looking around, not the least of which is that I see a lot of these folks just once a year, and I want to maximize my time with them. I want to spend time with all of them. But the real reason is FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out on something better. Fear of missing out on something more important. Fear of missing out on something more fun or something more interesting. Fear of missing out. It's a real struggle. But it is abundantly clear to me that despite whether this is normal midwinter behavior, which I would argue that it is, it is a terrible way to show that I value these people, that I am concerned genuinely about these people. So heading into midwinter, my intention will be to focus on whoever I am talking with in the moment. No, but I would like you to ask me about it when I get back to see how it goes. But I want to live this idea of here I am, to spend each of those moments honoring that idea, to treat each moment as though God had led me specifically into that with intention, recognizing that in those moments I am standing on holy ground, and treat it thusly. And I would love to hear how you're going to be intentional with a person, with a place to say, here I am. And I'll really love to hear what that experience is like for you. I look forward to hearing what this practice does for you, what it does for your relationships, what it does for your investment, even in just daily activity. And I am excited for us to explore in the coming weeks what this might look like for us as a church, for us as Emmanuel Covenant Church, for us to say, here we are, to say that to our community of South Surrey, to say that specifically here in Grandview Heights, here we are as a church. Because I believe that God has great things in store for this place. Great things for us. Great things through us. If we're willing to be really intentional about our presence. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are a God who both exemplifies and values presence. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, you became present in the flesh on earth with us. We pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us in our place, that we might be an example and a declaration of your presence to the world. Help us through our intent to be present, to show your love to all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.